Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. This is Lilydale Radio. I'm Colleen van der Zijden, and the name of the show is called Embracing Your Essence. It's all about you, who you are as a person, especially the person that's inside that seems to be covered up by our life problems and issues, and we get hidden inside there a little bit. And I named the show Embracing Your Essence so that people could understand that the importance, I guess, really of who they truly are. And that's what we always talk about while we're here. It's so much fun to do. Hello, thank you for watching, Facebook people. And I am a registered medium at Lilydale Assembly. And as a registered medium at Lilydale, I give readings there. And I'm there during the summer. The summer season is starting, it's around June 21st this year, and it goes until Labor Day. And the workshops will be posted on the LilydaleAssembly.org website in March, I believe. So that's actually soon. So within the next 4 or 5 weeks, those workshops will be up, and you can start making your plans to go to Lilydale, take workshops, visit with mediums, do whatever you want to do there. It's a wonderful place. And if you haven't been there, I do recommend that you check it out online and go to the website, LilydaleAssembly.org, and see what is there. It is amazing community. People do live there year round. In the winter, we do have some people who take off like me. I'm not there right now, but I'll be back up there in a few weeks. But there are people year round there, and you can get readings by phone, Skype, FaceTime, Zoom, whatever you want, as well as in person. So anyways, my little plug for Lilydale for you. I am also, besides a registered medium, I'm also a certified life coach, and I love to help people figure out how to live a better life, how they can make changes to look at things from a different perspective so that they can live the life they want to have. And today's topic is actually your best life. But before I get to that, I do want to mention some of the preseason workshops. I did talk about them last week, so I'm not going to go through the whole list of them today. But there are some preseason workshops coming up. And the first one is with Lisa Williams, and it is on Mastering the Message. That would be a mediumship message. And that is March 22nd to the 24th. That's with Lisa Williams. So if you are interested in mediumship, I do recommend you go to that. And because this is my show, I can plug my own workshop. I'm doing a healing immersion weekend, May 31st through June 2nd, and I'll be doing healing basics Friday night. So even if you've had some experience with healing, you might want to come and just check out so you understand what I'm talking about, my perspective. And then on Saturday, June 1st, I'll be teaching amplification of healing techniques. So I will be giving people so many different kinds of techniques to amplify the healing energy. And last time I taught it was so much fun. We had, I had at least 33 healing techniques that I can show you to improve your healing and refine that energy. And then on Sunday, we're going to do some color and sound healing. And now, as you know, I'm a violinist and I was a music teacher for a very long time. So I'll be doing music, sound-related things. You do not have to be a musician to do this, of course, and I won't be bringing my violin either, but I will be bringing my tuning forks, and I have a whole bunch of those, and it's so much fun to play with tuning forks. So if you have never done that, you might be interested in that one. Hi, Julie. Your color looks great. Sun's been working. Yeah, we had some sun. Yesterday, it was actually 90. I couldn't believe it. Today, it was 70 and really kind of foggy, but it's okay. I'm working on my online course, and I'm looking at the waves while I'm working. It's the best way to work, absolutely the best way, and I hope everybody has an opportunity to do things like that at some point in their lives, because to have this time to just, you know, be to myself and do my own thing has been really healing for me, I must say. Hi, Dorothy, how are you? Nice to see you. So let's see, is there anything else I need to tell you about for a workshop? Last week I talked about one, Heaven is Unfolding on Earth by Dr. Stan Kentz. His is May 24th to the 25th. I couldn't remember the date last week, so I want to tell you today. And it is literally about heaven unfolding on Earth and what needs to happen on earth for heaven to be here. Sounds like it will be an interesting couple of days right there with him. So, okay, so we are going to talk about today, what does your best life look like? If you have never watched before, let me tell you what's going to happen, though, before I get too far into my theme. I'll talk for a little bit, usually about 25, 30 minutes, because I'm a big talker, and give you some kind of ideas so you can live a better life and do the things you want to have, those things. And then I take callers, and you can call in at 818-739-8818. It is posted at the top of my Facebook feed. And you can call in for several reasons. One, if you want a brief mediumship reading, and a mediumship reading is a reading where we connect in with spirit on the other side. You can call in if you have a question about something that has to do with metaphysics, something you have a question about psychic work, mediumship work, healing, coaching, spirituality, any questions like that, you can call and we'll talk about them. You can also call if you have a problem in your life and you're looking for coaching, some kind of strategies to help you move through a problem, look at them differently, that kind of thing. And you can also call them to talk about the topic of the day, which is your best life. You can, and we've had this happen a few times in the past, you can also comment through the Facebook feed, make a comment there, and I can talk to you that way. And I've been doing a couple readings that way. It's been kind of fun to do. What happens is a random spirit comes in, and then we try to figure out who the person is. And it's been really cool. Well, I don't know if that'll happen tonight or not. We'll see. So you can call or you can comment through the Facebook feed, and I'll just kind of go with whatever feels right. So today we are going to talk about your best life. What does your best life look like? When you think about this, what comes to mind when you think of your best life? Maybe you've never thought about it, because I know I certainly didn't until I started on my spiritual path. I never thought about what kind of life I wanted to have or anything. I was just living really out of habit. I was reacting to whatever was happening around me, and that was it. That's all I did. And I was stuck kind of in a habitual living, a habitual reactions, actions, behaviors, thoughts, worries, stress, all of that. I was stuck in that. And when I got on my spiritual path, I started to think about, what kind of life do I want to have? What kind of life would be my best life? And what came up as I was talking about this to myself and talking about this to a client fairly recently was we were talking about self-responsibility. When we think of this, the happy life that we want to have, because don't we all want to be happier? You can't walk around totally happy all of the time. We all know this. So there are different forms of happiness. There's contentment, there's bliss, there's joy, there's straight out happy. There's different forms of it. And we all have our own opinion and our own idea of what happiness means to us. When we think of that best life, we want to have some kind of fun maybe. What is it you want to have in this life? Where do you want to go? How do you want to live? Do you pay attention to what's happening in your life? Or are you living like I was, not really aware and just kind of going about your day and just reacting to everything, not really consciously creating anything? Are you a victim? Do you blame other people? Do you, when you feel badly, do you think it's somebody else's fault? Or are you reacting to things that happen and just kind of go, I don't understand what to do. I don't know how to get out of this. And you wonder why life is so hard. It all comes back to our responsibility, self-responsibility. I heard the phrase once that we were responsible for everything that happens in our lives. And I remember thinking, that doesn't make any sense. What are you talking about? You know, why would that just doesn't make sense to me. I didn't get it. And now I recognize that it's really not being responsible for what happens in our lives in terms of events or situations, but our responses to things, how we respond to events and situations. So we're not responsible necessarily for the events. Of course, we can create some. We might get into that a little later. We'll see. We might create some events that we probably shouldn't have, but it's our responses. Annie's saying I'm such a victim. It's a horrible habit. Isn't it amazing? We fall into these habits. I'm going to talk about falling into things soon. We fall into habits, and we don't even know we're doing it most of the time. And if we can just move into that idea that, yes, we are a spiritual being, and as a spiritual being, we have free will, and with that free will, we can become responsible for every way we respond, react to things in life. That phrase, your thoughts create your reality, is kind of along the same idea of when I was told that I was responsible for my life. I thought, my thoughts create my reality. Am I creating, you know, this bad thing? Did I create my flat tire? And it can be misinterpreted that idea. We may think that we are creating that. Well, I should rephrase that. Let me try that again. Your thoughts create your reality. We may think that means we are creating those situations and events. And of course, sometimes we do, like I just said a minute ago. But really what it is our thoughts are creating our perception of reality. Our thoughts are creating our emotions, which is creating the experience we're having in life. We're creating meanings for everything that happens in our life all of the time. And we have to be very aware of these things, be self-aware. Life can be difficult. We can have a lot of challenges, and I mean a lot of challenges. And these days, it seems like we have one after the another, doesn't it? We can have these challenges and we forget to stay conscious. We forget to stay connected to ourselves, to our core being, to our essence. We forget to be connected in there and have our inner magic working for us. Our inner power out there is working for us. So we have the life we want to have. I knew I was going to talk about self-responsibility tonight, but then a few days ago, this great post came across Facebook and it was all about a self-responsibility. And I shared it on my page. So if you haven't seen it yet, you can go there and see it. And it says, you are not responsible for other people's ideas, opinions, actions, beliefs, mistakes, words, or the consequences of other people's actions. You're responsible for your words, your actions, your behaviors, your efforts, your mistakes, your ideas, and the consequences of your actions. So it's interesting because we do pick up on feeling responsible for other people. We feel responsible for how they are, how they're living their lives, whatever they happen to need. Have you ever had somebody give you a guilt trip? I'm sure you have. I think most of us have experienced that. They want you to do something for them, and they're trying to make you responsible for how they feel. You don't have to accept that. Now, if you are a person who likes to give other people guilt trips, you might want to not do that because other people are not responsible for how you feel, just like you're not responsible for how they feel. It goes both ways. When I was a teacher, there was a sign in the print shop that basically said something along the lines of, your emergency is not my emergency. And in other words, it was if I, as a teacher, had poor planning and I needed something printed up immediately, my lateness, my irresponsibility did not supersede other people's work where they had submitted their things earlier. And it means that they're not responsible for fixing my problems or somebody else's problems. And just because you think it's important doesn't mean other people think it's important and they're going to jump through hoops to make you happy. It means you have to move out of habitual thinking, habitual living. This is where we're living without awareness. We're not connected to ourselves. We don't know what we're doing. We're not really thinking. I did mention this story last year, but if you're a new watcher or listener, I'm going to tell you again because it is such a great story and it illustrates this this idea of living consciously here that I'm talking about. And it's called The Tibetan Book of Living and Dying by Sojil Rinpoche. It's called The Autobiography in 5 Chapters. It's really short, and it really describes how our lives can be. In chapter 1, it says, I walk down the street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I'm lost. I'm hopeless. It isn't my fault. It takes forever to find a way out. Chapter 2, I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I'm in the same place again, but it isn't my fault. It still takes a long time to get out. Chapter 3, I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it is there. I still fall in. It's a habit. My eyes are open. I know where I am. It's my fault. I get out immediately. Chapter 4, I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. Chapter 5, I walk down a different street. Isn't that just the greatest story? It's so appropriate to how we live our lives. These holes appear in our lives and their habits and everything, and they trip us up. We have the same problems, the same issues keep popping up, and we keep responding in exactly the same way. The holes are these things that we think happen to us. If you're walking down a street and you fall in a hole, you think, oh, man, that just happened to me. You know, it just happened. I had no control over it. But didn't you see it? Didn't you see the hole? Maybe not. You know, maybe you were just not aware of it. And that's what will happen in our lives sometimes. We react to things the same way we always do. And eventually, though, what will happen, usually, not with everybody, but usually, if you're watching, it'll happen for you, if it hasn't already, that you will become more aware and you'll recognize that everything that's happening in your life is there for your self-growth, is there to help you become who you are inside, your true essence, your true self, not the self that you put out there for other people where you're hiding parts of yourself. These things are here to help us wake up. Pause for just a moment. Rebecca is saying, my quote of the year is, things happen for you and not to you. And that is a great quote. They do happen for you. Everything is there. And if you can recognize everything is there to help you, you will be amazed at how your stress level will decrease. When something happens, you won't get so sucked into those holes and those habits. You'll be able to step out of them and look at the problems from a bit more of an objective perspective. You'll be able to look at things differently. I have a friend who was trying to find a partner, and she had the habit of picking the same kind of person, one after the other. They would always start out very charming and attentive, and they were wonderful, and she would get so in love. She'd be so in love. And eventually they would become needy, critical, and sometimes verbally abusive. She was trapped in these holes. She was stuck in this habit. She falls in, all in with her heart, and she was powerless to change it. She had no awareness of this, and she would blame these men. What is wrong with these men? Well, why are men like this? So we're going to generalize, right? Why are men like this? Why do they all lie? Why do they pretend to be somebody they're not? And then all of a sudden, they act a different way. Why are they manipulative? And every time this would happen to her, she would get all upset, and she'd go through the same thing, and she'd say the exact same things for every single relationship. And it was always blaming the men. She was stuck in the first two chapters of that story. And eventually she started to see the pattern. She started to become aware. Of course, habits die hard. And so the next guy that comes along, she falls for him really hard as well. And he seems to be a little bit different than the other guy. So this time it's going to be better. She's sure of it. It's definitely going to be better this time. And it's true. The issues were not the same, but it's all of a sudden they started to be some signs that this person was not really presenting himself as accurately as he might have been as well. But this time she started to recognize it, so she got out of it right away. Rather than moving into that victim mentality where they are doing something to her, she took responsibility and didn't blame the man, and she reclaimed herself again and said, okay, it's okay. I can do this, you know, I just needed to be more aware, but she congratulated herself on taking action and getting out of it. I always tell my coaching clients to follow their emotions, to see where their emotions take them. She was unhappy with her partners, and she was blaming them. So these were the emotions she had, unhappiness and blame. And if she's responsible, when she follows those emotions, she recognizes having to take it back on herself, because everything is here for her, take it back on herself. She recognizes that the blaming is telling her to make a change in herself, to take some kind of action, to be more aware of what her needs are and what her expectations are. We might feel sometimes in life issues and problems that pop up that certain aspects of life can become unbearable and we can't live like this anymore. We might start complaining, we're tired of the same problems, same reactions. When we start to feel like that, that's the best part. I know people are going, really? But it is. It's the best part because that's the sign where you're starting to wake up. You're not satisfied with how life is going anymore. You're not satisfied to fall in those holes and those habits. You want something more. And when you follow those emotions and you recognize you don't like something, and if you're willing to turn it back on yourself as to how you can grow, you are waking up. You're starting to take responsibility for your life so you can create that best life you want to have. And we don't have to, as we follow these things, we don't have to put up with crap from other people, okay? We don't have to, you know, we talk about love, making sure we love everybody and all of that, but that doesn't mean you put up with stuff. Okay, if somebody's being a jerk, that means you have to take some action. And sometimes that means you do have to get away from another person. No one else is going to fix our lives. No one else is going to make our lives better. I do, though, being a coach and teacher, I do think that getting a coach or a teacher is very helpful if you're on your path. If you get stuck in a habit and you don't know how to get out, sometimes it's really handy to have somebody who's trained and has an objective perspective, can help you look at something from a different angle, can maybe mirror back some of the things you're saying so you can see that maybe it doesn't make sense. I think that having a coach or a teacher is the fastest way to learn. It took me a long time to get where I am today. I did have a coach here and there, and I obviously spent a lot of time working on myself and going to workshops and stuff. But if I had had a coach for a longer period of time, I think I would have gotten where I am a lot faster, and I could have learned things a little sooner than I did. Now, with my friend, you know, having this problem with the men, the final chapters, walking around the hole or walking down a different street, we're just going, we're making a conscious choice to avoid the habits, to avoid the holes that we so frequently fall into without even being aware of them. Consciously, we are choosing that different path. When I first started on my spiritual path, I realized I had an unaware belief that I wasn't good enough. I was very shy, self-conscious. I didn't want to put myself out there. I was really uncomfortable talking to people. You never would have seen me doing anything like this back then, I can tell you that. I would not have taken any risks and stepped out of my box. And when I woke up and started to really seriously look at some of my beliefs, which were shown to me by my actions and how I responded to things, I realized I had tried to protect myself from any problems. I didn't want to get hurt. I didn't want to be criticized. I didn't want people to look at me in a negative way. And when I realized this was a belief that was holding me back, I also realized I had to get rid of it. I had to be more consciously aware of it. Now, these beliefs we have from childhood, and they do come from when you were like 3 and 4 and 5, I don't know if we can ever truly get rid of them. I think that we will have situations and events that will trigger us, and so that we can process them to a deeper level. And I do believe, and maybe I'll change my mind next week, but I do believe we all have something that is limiting us in some way. That doesn't mean we have to stay in it. Now, I know that I have that inside me, that feeling where I don't feel good enough. I know it's there. So because I know it's there, I try to take action to encourage myself. I try to take action to do the best I can and be willing to take a risk and try something new out. And as I learned about this belief that I had, that I had no idea I had, what was happening is the same experience would come up one after another after another. And you know how that will happen? And you have to learn something, and it will just keep coming back until you see it. I'm going to pause for a moment, look at my Facebook here. Would a coach help me with connecting to my spirit guides? It will certainly give you some suggestions. I'll try to remember to come back to that in a minute, and I'll give you a couple ideas that you can use yourself to connect. But a coach, yes, could help you with that. As I got going with these things, this trying to look at my belief, my limiting belief that I'm not good enough, this also created a belief that if I avoided my life, I avoided truly living and experiencing life, I could avoid problems in my life. You see how that worked? One little belief just led me to someplace else. So this stopped me from having fun, taking actions, doing things I wanted to do because I was scared. I didn't want to do them. Now, since I'm more aware, and by no means am I perfect, but since I'm more aware, I collect experiences. I want to try new things out, especially if they make me a little bit nervous. Because if they make me nervous, that means I have to trust the universe that I'm going to get help. And so I just try to do these things and try not to limit myself in any way. Yes. Doing the same things over and over and expecting different results. Exactly. When we fall in those holes, that's what we do. We do it over and over and over. And, you know, it is important, I'm going digressing slightly from my plan, but it is important for us to have like-minded people around us people who get us. You know, if you are, say your family is not self-aware, okay? You're the lone sheep. Is that what they call it? The lone sheep, whatever it is. So you're the person who is more aware, but the rest of your family isn't. And they can trigger you like no one else, let me tell you. And they're the best way to learn. If you know your family triggers you with something, jump right in. And I don't mean jump right in and be a jerk. I mean jump right in and look at whatever belief is being triggered so that you can respond in a different way and not feed whatever is happening. Try it. It's kind of fun, actually, when you start to look at your problems and your triggers from a different perspective, as though this is a really wonderful thing and you'll be able to take care of it. It's kind of cool. Now, I'm going to do one more little story, and then we will take some callers, talk about some things, and I will just give you the number again. It's 818-739-8818. You can also comment through the Facebook feed. I do see the messages there. Sometimes they go a little too fast for me, but sometimes I'll catch them. And you can call in or talk to me there about metaphysical, spiritual questions. You can ask about a topic. You know, if you want to talk about psychic, mediumship, coaching, spirituality, whatever you want to talk about. If you have a problem, I can help you with a spiritual solution, a spiritual strategy, something to look at life in a little bit of a different way. We can also do a brief mediumship reading, and we'll see what happens. Who knows? You never know. So here's another story for you. And I'm going to follow that autobiography in five chapters, because that, whenever you have a problem, if you can just kind of flash back to that, you will... you'll know that it's possible to get out of those holes. You'll know you can do it. So let's say you have a friend who teases you and says things that aren't very nice, but only kidding. She's only kidding. And you've told her to stop, though, because it makes you uncomfortable and it feels like it hurts your feeling. That she just seems to be mean and kind of trying to make it into a joke, but really, she seems to be mean. So you're still going out to lunch with her, even though every single time you go out with her, she says something that upsets you every single time. And you think next time you go out with her, you're going to come back with a great response, a real snappy reply, and put her in her place, and you won't get upset. The next time comes, okay, now you've already repeated this pattern a couple of times, then all of a sudden, you've gone out with her again. Everything's going great. You're thinking, oh, perfect. It's going to be great. You let your guard down, and then she hits you with a really good one. And you allow yourself to get angry and frustrated, and you beat yourself up because you knew better. You knew you shouldn't have gone to lunch with her, but you did it anyway. And now you didn't want to make her upset, so you went to lunch. Now you go another time. There's a third time, but this time you say to her, now you're starting to become more aware, more responsible. You say to her, you know what? I really don't like when you say things like this. It really hurts my feelings, and it feels very nasty to me. And she says, oh, definitely, I'm not going to do it. I'll watch myself, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, it happens again. It doesn't take it long with her because she's always like that. And it's been a habit to put up with that in the past, but this time you pick up your things and you leave. And you realize you don't deserve to be treated like this. You're taking responsibility and protecting yourself from negative energy. You don't have to have that. And then if you follow that autobiography a little bit more, the next chapter is you see the hole and walk around it. Well, this time she calls you up and she apologizes. You accept it and you say, oh, sorry. No, I can't do lunch. Thanks. See you later. Bye. And then the next time you make new friends. You just get new friends. You just don't even bother. Now I'm going to look again here. If you have a negative belief about yourself that came from childhood, then hasn't the person who instilled this belief the responsible party? Ooh, not yourself. Ooh, good one. Good one, Susan. Good one. Okay. Yeah. Let me talk about that. So she's asking, Susan's asking, if somebody else gives you, says something nasty to you, is mean to you, and you have this negative belief about yourself, and then aren't they responsible? They are responsible to a point in that they are not aware either. They don't understand the power of their words. They don't understand the effect they can have on other people. And the thing is, so many of these beliefs happen, we're unaware when they happen. For example, as I'm writing on my course today, I'm writing this story, and I may have told this here, I can't remember. When I was young, I was told in Sunday school, the whole class was told, that wasn't just me, that we were not to brag about ourselves, that we were not to be proud of ourselves. I took that statement, and I must have been informative at the time, and I must have been paying attention, But I took that statement to mean that I should never acknowledge the good things about myself. So something will happen, and we'll take that belief a little bit further. Now, we can have people who are outright jerks, and somebody who says to you, you're not smart enough to go to college, and you take that belief on. You're a kid. What do you know, right? An adult says something like that to you. What do you know? So here's where it shifts, though. As you get older, you start to recognize that you have the power to change your beliefs. You have the power to move out of that negative energy. The situations will come up to start to prove to you that some of the beliefs you hold are not true. So yes, they're partially responsible for having instilled that belief or even brought it up, but so many times they come about accidentally. They weren't on purpose, and we have taken some small little bit and turned it into something much, much bigger. So we have to keep in mind, let me back up for a minute. If you have a jerky person in your life, okay, so somebody was a jerk, and I mean a real nasty person. Like I said before, you don't have to stay with that person. You don't have to have a relationship with them. If it happens to be a family person and you have a relationship with them, you just have to be very careful about guarding your energy so that you don't give them your power as you react to whatever it is they're throwing at you. Okay? Limit your time, those kinds of things. You have the responsibility to change your perception of your life. That's your responsibility. You have the perception to change things. Life will keep bringing you stuff. It just does all of the time. It helps you come back to what is important to you. We're all different. We all have our own triggers. We have our own emotional reactions and habits and all of that. So what I say for me may not apply to everyone, but if you look at some of the things from a more general perspective, it may make more sense. You're the only one who can change how you're experiencing life. Now, just because somebody told you back when you were, I don't know, 7 or 8, that you aren't smart enough to go to college, that doesn't mean when you're 22, 25, or whatever, that you shouldn't go to college. So don't hold on to that belief if it's not serving you or if it's not true. Sometimes, you know, like looking at my belief where I feel sometimes that I'm not good enough. An easy way to get out of that for other people who suffer from that illness is to look back on your life at all of the times you were good enough. And you'll find that that belief that you're not good enough isn't true. It just isn't true. I may not be good enough for another person in their eyes, but that's their perspective. I'm not going to change myself just because I want to please another person. I try not to do that. I want to be true to myself as much as possible. So there's a lot of traps here we can fall into. If at any point we're blaming somebody else for our problems, issues, all of those things, that means it's time to look at ourselves. If at any point we're offering excuses as to why we can't do something, why we can't change, that means we need to look at ourselves. Anytime we compare ourselves to someone else, we need to look at ourselves and figure out what belief is going on in our heads that's stopping us from being our true awesome self. We, every single one of us, is awesome. We are great people. We have so many things that we are good at. And we shouldn't let every now and then those little beliefs that sneak in get in our way and stop us from living our life. So I think that's really what I'm talking about tonight, is not letting these little beliefs get in our way and recognizing we do have a responsibility, but along with the responsibility, the capability and the ability to change our perspective on life, to change our experience of life. We never, 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 never have to stay stuck in a negative place. Never. Now, whenever I say something like that, I do mention again, grief. When we have grief, we've lost people, we've lost our job, we've lost a house, you know, whatever. When we have grief for something, that is a natural, necessary emotion that we have to have. We cannot sugarcoat this. You have to go through it. You have to experience it. And the way to experience it is to step into it and to just go, if you feel sad, you feel sad, go with it. Okay, it won't stay forever. but for the other parts of life, okay? You know, somebody says something to you that's mean, then you have that choice to do a different reaction. You have it. You'll start to see these habits in holes just by my talking about it. Some of you now will, this week, it will be interesting. And if, you, if this happens, you've got to message me. It's really fun. You're going to start to see things. You'll start to see yourself responding and reacting to things. And all of a sudden, you'll have a little something will click in your head and you'll think, wait a minute. What should I be learning right now? What should I be learning? Now, just because you're learning and taking responsibility for your life doesn't mean you're not going to have the emotion of things, okay? So I always want to be clear on that as well. So stay with that. Make sure you're there. Oh, my goodness, what am I computer doing? There we go. We want to make conscious choices. Be aware. Be aware of what's happening. It's like a game. You know, life isn't nearly as serious as we think it is. It really isn't. Most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time when we get upset about something, it's not that big a deal. It really isn't. You know, in the big scheme of life, we've got to do that. Now, okay. So the best life you're going to have is the one you're aware of. Now, somebody asked me a question on Facebook. Let me see. I see random images when my eyes are closed when touching a person's head. Oh, how cool is that? How have you developed your mediumship? This is fairly new to me. The idea that we're here to learn has saved my life during depression. Annie, yes, that is so true. Whenever I would get down, I knew that I was going to come back up. And the lower I went, that meant I was clearing more things out and I was going to go higher after. Yeah. Let's see. Rebecca, that's an interesting thing. How have you developed? Well, that's a whole other day, I think. Random images are kind of cool because sometimes you'll get messages that way. Somebody asked a question before on Facebook, and I can't remember what it was, and I said I'd try to do it later. Can't remember. Oh, I know. It was spirit guides. Here we go. So this is what I always tell people to do, and I'm sure I've mentioned it before. One of the best ways to connect in with a spirit guide is by writing, is to just write out messages, like automatic writing, or just write whatever comes to mind. You say, I'd like to connect with whatever. Now, the problem is, though, we get so focused on one idea, like spirit guides. I want to connect to my spirit guide. I want to connect to my spirit guide, that we wouldn't notice that the spirit guide hit us over the head because we're so focused on it. The best way to move out of that wanting and the desire is to trust that the spirit guide is there. Make it up in your head. Go, okay, I've got a spirit guide here, and just make one up. Write it down as you're doing it, because you'd be surprised how right you might be. So write down, okay, I have a spirit guide, and don't worry about his name, okay? Everybody wants to know their names. You can name them. They don't care, but you don't. It's not necessary. And you can say, and my spirit guide helps me with this. And just write down whatever. And it's kind of like you're making a wish list, but at the same time, you might very well be channeling information and letting it come in. So make up who you want your spirit guide to be. If you want somebody to be, I'm going to say American Indian because so many people do that, and I don't know why. I don't know why people are so connected to that. I'm not dismissing it or dissing it or anything like that, but I know I have seen so many people say, well, mine is a big, gigantic, you know, American Indian, and I'm going, okay, that's cool. I'm more interested in the qualities of the spirit guide, how the spirit guide is helping me. I'm more interested in that, their spirituality and how they come through for me. That's me. Doesn't mean you have to do it. So just kind of think about what you want your spirit guide to be like, and then be open, because you might be surprised to find out that you already have messages from spirit guide and you don't even recognize it. Okay, I have talked. What time is it? See, I have talked too much today. I didn't even think I was going to talk that long. So what we're going to do, I'm going to take some callers, and you can call in for those reasons I mentioned previously. I won't do it again because I talk too much, and I'm going to turn my phone up so that we can hear when it happens. Now, what number do I like today? Well, let's do this number. I'm going to say the last four digits of your telephone number, and then if you could tell me your name, that would be awesome. I'm going to go to this number, 7833. Hello, how are you today?
Hi, Colleen, it's Dorothy.
Is it the Dorothy I know?
Yes, it's the Dorothy you know.
Hi, Dorothy.
Bless your heart. I want to thank you so much for your help. I mean, you are amazing.
Oh, thank you. Now, for everybody who's watching.
I just want to say that.
Oh, you're so sweet. No, I said, you're so sweet. I was just going to tell everybody who's watching that Dorothy connected with me first on my other radio show, the one I do on Thursday nights. And then she also got through on Tuesday nights, and here she is again. So, Dorothy, how are you doing?
I'm doing so much better. What you talked about, your talk just before you started taking calls, was, I think, all about me. And I have decided to move on. And I am moving to France.
Oh, my goodness. Good for you. That is so awesome. Yeah, so for everybody,
I just recently
went through some challenges. She went through some big challenges.
And, big challenges, yes.
I mean, huge. Like, you can't even imagine the challenges she went through. And
no.
I can tell you, Dorothy, I'm so proud of you because I know we communicated a little bit through Facebook and things, and I was sending you lots of love and trying to do what I could do, and I'm so happy that you have reclaimed yourself. I'm so happy that you're taking action to do the things you want to do and recognize that you are responsible for how you're experiencing your life. I am actually getting goosebumps right now. I'm so excited for you. This is so exciting. Oh, yes.
Yes.
And when are you going to move?
I'm hoping March 1st. So soon.
Oh, that's soon.
I'm, you know, busy getting everything in place.
Oh,
yeah.
Awesome. Well, I do have to tell you, Dorothy, that, you know, when I'm touching into that, I've actually got a spirit on the other side who is very excited because they never got to go anywhere. Ever. So I've got a woman on the other side, and she feels older when she passes, and she's so excited because she never got to go anywhere. She stayed in one place for most of her life, and she's beyond excited. And I'm also feeling this woman, too, didn't have a whole lot of education. So that there was a lot of limitation there as to how much she could do. So there is a lot of it. And I have to say, when I touch into you going, it feels so good to me. There's all sorts of connections I'm feeling around you when you're there. Like you meet these people and then you meet these people and there's a lot happening. I'm also getting the impression that you're going to be there for quite some time. Oh, this is awesome. This is so awesome. Well, Dorothy, thank you so much for calling. I'm so glad I got to connect with you before you leave. That is so exciting.
I just wanted to express my gratitude and just, you know, bless your heart. I mean, I'm beyond happy right now, but, you know what it was before.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. So this
It's come full circle. It's come full circle. So thank God for that. So,
You're so wonderful. That's so wonderful. Well, thank you, Dorothy. I'm so glad you called.
Yes,
and I'll
thank
have
you.
To talk to you again next time.
Yes. Okay, take care.
Okay. You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Safe trip. Bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And that was Dorothy. And what she just said was so important, coming full circle. I'm not going to, you know, tell you everything that happened to her, but I can tell you that you cannot imagine everything that happened to her. And it just goes to show the power of, number one, the human spirit, that we can handle so much more than we think we can. Dorothy is a strong woman. She really is. And she wasn't afraid to ask people for help. You know, she's just a wonderful, wonderful person. And to hear her story that she's now going to France is so exciting to me. I can't even tell you. So that is just wonderful. Okay, let's see who else we want to talk to. D2D, whatever number. Oh, this looks like a fun number. Let's see. Five. Sorry, I feel like I'm calling out bingo numbers. 5445. We're going to 5445. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Hi, thank you. My name's David.
Hi, David, and how are you today? You're just awesome.
I'm awesome, Carleen. Thank you. Thank you very much. Actually kind of living the dream and living my life the way I want to. So sometimes that's not even easy. So.
No, it's not. Sometimes it isn't, because sometimes when we're living our lives and our dreams the way we want to, it does involve making some radical changes, and it can be hard for people. It really can.
Mm-hmm.
So how can I help you today? What are you looking for?
So basically, some things happened a couple of weeks ago where I was going to tell a story, but I'm not going to say it now, but to summarize things, how I kind of found out I was an angel card reader. So, you know, they're kind of being, first I ask, you know, okay, well, if I'm talking to angels, then how is that possible? Because angels are God's messengers and I'm not God. So how does that work? All right. And what I heard was, well, no, but they can provide divine guidance. So, and then they said to challenge me, they go, well, I will tell a story because it'll be quick anyway. So to challenge me, they go, well, I'll tell you what. You're a tarot card reader. Why don't you find out? I said, okay, all right, fine, I will. And I'll tell you what, this is what I'll do. I said, if you can prove to me in three cards that it's you that I'm talking to, an angel, then when I wake up tomorrow morning, I'll be an angel card reader. And they said, okay, fine. This is a true story. So I said, okay, fine, let's see how good you are. That's what I said. So I kind of pushed down my chest a little bit, right? And, okay, so sure enough, so I take my deck out, 58 cards. There's only one card in there that has anything close to angel wings on it, okay? And it's one of the three cards that come up. That's number one. So it's like, yeah. It's the only card that it's a fairy, but it's the only thing in the entire deck that has wings on it. So I'm thinking, oh, my God. So when I wake up, I'm an angel card reader. And I've actually stuck to it. So, because that's how I am. You could have kind of proved to me. And they did it. With one card and a 58 card deck. So I thought that would be interesting. I just kind of wanted to share that. And my question was actually how you felt about angels. I do some mediumship, but I would really like to really just become like just a really, really good angel card reader. And I just want to say that they proved it to me. So, and I also make, connect with angels in other ways. I actually make like handmade cards and stuff about angels. So it's really crazy, right? So I don't know, what's your opinion about angels?
Well, that's funny you mentioned that, David, because I'm sure there's people who are watching and laughing on the other side of my Facebook feed here, because normally I would be in a different house. I'm actually visiting Florida now, so I'm in a rented condo. Normally you would see all these angels behind me. I have all these angel statues. And I there's something about angels for me. I just, the whole concept, the whole idea of it is amazing. Spirit comes through in so many different ways. And by spirit, in that case, I am talking about God, angels, the higher vibrations. And I do lump in their spirits of our deceased loved ones as well, because I do believe we all go back to God and spirit in that form. And they, spirit, God, angels, will communicate with us. They will let us know. They may use our life situations like I was talking about before, but they may do something like you had with the card showing up like that. And, you know, somebody who is not open would say, well, that's just a coincidence. You know, and I'm like, really? One card out of 58 or whatever? Yeah, that's a coincidence. That's a heck of a coincidence, you know? So they will get through to us. And people will say there are no coincidences. It's all messages.
Well, you know what's interesting? What's even more interesting is that there was three cards. One was patience. The second one was temptation, which in the Rider Waite deck would be like equal to like the devil, which I found even more interesting. And then the last card, you know, at the end, forcing this negative card in between patience and an angel. I thought that was amazing, too. So
yeah.
I wanted to share the story and just say I really appreciate you giving readings and stuff. And, I watch you on Facebook. And I can't wait because I think all the Lilydale shows will get really, really big. So it was more of like a shout-out to say thank you.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. And your awareness of that temptation thing, too, because that could also be the temptations in your head that you can't or you shouldn't or something like that. But you made the decision. So congratulations for sticking with that. That is so awesome. Oh, I'm just having the best callers tonight. We're just all having awesome times. Well, David, thank you so much for calling and sharing that story. That was so cool. Very cool.
I know. Just one of those amazing things spirit can do, like just like you said. So, well, thank you, Colleen. I appreciate you.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling. I'll talk to you again sometime. Bye. Bye-bye.
Cool.
Yeah, that was kind of cool, isn't it? I tell you, things happen. You know, I've told you the story before how I woke up with just this writing that all of a sudden just woke me up. You might have something like that happen. You might have an instantaneous message or an experience that all of a sudden makes you aware that there's more to life than what you thought and that things are hidden from your everyday human perspective. And when you wake up and you start to see these things, you'll start to see the depth that is here for us in our humanness as we connect to our spirituality. And it's so cool for David to ask me about angels, because you know how much I love angels. And we all have our own way, our own spirituality. And that's something I have to say I really like about Lilydale, if you go to church at Lilydale, because it's about your own spirituality, what's true for you. It's not, you have to believe this. It's not that kind of thing. It's whatever is true to you. As a spiritualist, we believe in communication, obviously, with people on the other side, and we also believe in healing, you know, being able to use our energy to heal, affect others positively. And that those are things we do. Now, I do want to mention my website, because I have not mentioned that at all. It is ColleenVanderZijden.com, or if you want to have the easier link, psychicmediumcolleen.com. I'm still working on it. It's endless because I kind of put things on hold while I'm working on my online course. So I can get that out for you. I'm trying to simplify it a little bit. I have a little too much information. I'm trying to make it a little bit more streamlined. But when that course comes out, people who are on my mailing list are going to get a discount for it. If you have already responded to the survey that I sent out previously, a couple months ago or so, they will get another discount on top of that discount. But there is going to be a discount for anybody who's on my mailing list. Limited time offer, you know, one of those things. And so if you're interested, the course is actually called Happy and Unstoppable, and it's strategies to handle your problems, to move you out of being stuck in negative emotions. And it's kind of fun. I'm having fun doing it, but it's a little bit of a challenge for me because I do have way too much information in my head and I need to simplify. I'm just trusting I'm going to be led. So anyway, you can visit my website, sign up for my mailing list there. You could also, when you sign up, you get I have a free ebook there, The Three Keys to Happiness. And it does talk about three simple things you can become aware of, action steps you might take. And there's also a paragraph on grief. I always want to talk about grief because I never, ever want anybody to think that I'm dismissing grief or thinking that, you know, my simple little idea is going to move you through grief. You have to do what you have to do. Okay, I have time for another caller, I'm pretty sure. You know how I talk too much. And I can keep talking too much. Who do I want to talk to today? Oh, there's so many of you, I don't know which one to do. Let's do this one. 3523. That'll work. 3523. Hello, what's your name? Hello, 3523. I don't think they're there. I think they're not there. I'll pause them. Maybe they went away and had to go someplace else. I'm going to do a random reading. You know how I love the random readings too. Yeah, I've got, this is fun. Oh, this is going to be a good one. I have a man here on the other side. I know I'm coming. Who is I want to call him a professor. There is that energy about a stereotypical professor, okay? I want to be on the taller side. I don't normally describe them physically because they change so much during their lifetime, but I want to be on the taller side, and I want to be on the thinner side as well, and I feel like he wore the same jacket quite regularly when he went to teach, okay? So he's a teacher. I don't know if he's a real professor or not, but he feels like one, so we'll see. But there's a certain jacket he wears, okay? He's fun. He's got a really different sense of humor, and he loves to, what's the word I want to use? You know when somebody tries to say something to kind of get you to react, to get you to think for yourself? In a different way, there's a word for that, and I can't think of what it is, but that's what it is. If you have a thought, idea that's not quite right, he'll say something to kind of go, hey, And he'll get you to think about it from a different angle. He likes to get people to think for themselves, okay? So if this belongs to you, let me know. He's on the older side when he passes, not as old as I want him to be, though. So he may be 60s, late 60s. 70s when he passes. I do feel that he had a nice career. I do feel that he affected a lot of people very positively. He's somebody that respects other people, and even if he may not agree with what you say, he will respond in such a way that you know it's safe to say what you want to say, and that it's safe to question authority, question things, and all of that. The gentleman is mine, Amanda Buck is saying. Okay, so Amanda, he's awesome. Let me tell you, tell me who he is. I'm going to keep talking about him because the way he's coming through, there's a pride, yes, coming through that, yes, people are doing what they're supposed to be doing, but it's there's a feeling of satisfaction. That's what it is. It's satisfaction. I had a great life. I feel like I connected with many people. Do you happen to know if he had a woman connected to him somehow who was sick, okay, had something going on with her? I don't know if she, it just seems like her health declines, that there's something going on. All of a sudden, I've got a woman he wants to acknowledge. So there's a woman connected to him somehow who has some health issues. I don't know if they're still here or on the other side. I think they're on the other side. And I'm getting all sorts of stuff in the chest. He's about 70. Love the finer things in life. Could talk for hours. Oh, no wonder he came through. He knows his wife had cancer. Okay, thank you. Okay, and do you happen to know if she had a lot of a chest pain as well? Because I feel like I can't quite get enough in here, but there's some pressure here. But he is mentioning her too. And he had such a good perspective on life. He says that he says there's wife left quite a few years before. Okay. He said there's some new avenues coming in, okay, new avenues, and him being a teacher, this is the way he is. You know, he's always wants to be teaching, learning, growing. I don't know if he's really a teacher or if this is just how he is. Either way, it's all about learning about life. It's all about learning, and he's talking about new avenues. Okay, I want to talk about now. This is interesting. Breast cancer, okay. But I want to talk now. Here's a real random thing, if you can place this. I love when I do a random thing and somebody can place it, so we'll see. I'm looking at, that's how he is. Okay, thank you. I'm looking at a tunnel, okay? I see a tunnel. I'm not a medium where I see a tunnel. It means you're going through something and you're going to come out the other side and it's going to be better. No, if I see a tunnel, it's a tunnel. I'm seeing a tunnel. It reminds me of a pipe, actually. It reminds me of a pipe, a big pipe. Okay, I have no idea what I'm talking about. It's pretty funny. And he's showing this to me. And what is significant to me is it's smooth. So there's not ridges in it. It's smooth. So there's a smooth big pipe of a tunnel. I have no idea how that connects. I hope you can figure this out because I have no idea. Let me see if he says something else. Huh, interesting. Something with a tunnel. Do you happen to know if he went through a tunnel? Hold on, let me turn that down. I just keep talking. We don't want to hear her talking every 20 seconds here. Do you happen to know if he went through a tunnel and it was significant? You understand it completely? Holy crap. Oh, I can't believe it. I'm glad you do. But he's mentioning that. I'm glad you understand. I have to tell you, too, there's so much. I know. Uh-huh. Okay, I've all sorts of things. He wants to make sure he's getting in as much as he can. I've got papers. I've got papers all over the place. Somebody helped sort through the papers. Somebody still has some of the papers. Do you have some of his papers or somebody in your family have some of his papers still? There's a lot of writing. A lot of writing that he did. I don't know how, I mean, we can't keep everything because it is significant, but there are some papers there. There's quite a bit there. There's a mention too. I'm going like this, rubbing my wrist, and I want to talk about either a tattoo or, you know those people get like cysts here, ganglion cysts, I think they're called. I have no medical knowledge. That was really funny. I don't, but his estate is unsettled. Okay. Oh, no. I hope I'm not going away because that's a really bad picture. Oh, gosh. Okay, good. I was hoping I wasn't totally freezed at that picture because that was bad. He was a very close friend to you. Okay. Thank you, because I got papers everywhere, something with that. I also have something here with a wrist, so I'm wondering if he's mentioning something that pertains to him or to you. I don't know if you're having any wrist issues or something going on there, but there's something about the wrist. I want to get back to the avenues, that there's so many different avenues to go. He's talking about how things just fall away when you don't need them anymore. Joint issues. Okay, thank you. He's talking about things just falling away when you don't need them. He says you've gotten much better about recognizing that and not getting stuck in the emotions. You've gotten much better about looking at things from a better perspective, a bigger perspective. And he's congratulating you on that. Because you don't know where you're going, but it's going to work out just fine, not to worry about it. Okay, I keep doing this. I feel like I need to spread things out, smooth things over a little bit. Yes, I don't. I move on helpfully. Good. So there's something with that too. I don't. I move on helpfully. You just try to live your life the best you can. And he does acknowledge that. It's awesome. There's a lot of love coming through for you. He feels very paternal right now. He feels like somebody who would have been another guide for you, and actually feel free to ask him at any point you need help. Who has the throat issues? Who can't breathe? I got breathing. I can't breathe. It's very tight in here. Let me know who this is, who has the throat issues. There's a lot going on in here that isn't good. I don't know if I'm talking about him, Grandma. Okay. So there's that mention. Is she still here in the physical? So that's very interesting. I know. Uh-huh. Right. Did he smoke a pipe too? I did want to mention that before. I saw that before, and I don't know if he was just using that to get me into the way he is or if he really did. It is so interesting when spirit comes through because they'll try to bring, she's transitioned. Okay. That is a grandmother on the other side because there was some breathing. Oh, it was really tough there. It's so interesting how they'll come through because they just really want to know that we know they're here. That they're still here. They still want to be here with us. And did he also have, he smoked a pipe. Yes, thank you. And did he also have a problem with his knee by any chance? Because my knee is really bothering me right now. Very interesting. I do like this man. He seems like a really good guy. He's one of those people I feel like anybody could just walk up to and carry on a conversation, and he sees people for who they are. And actually, Amanda, he does mention that for you too, that you also see people for who they really are. You can see past their crap, and see. I have joint issues, also think on the knee. Okay. I'm wondering if he had a knee thing because my knee is just really weird. I don't want to give you anything, so don't you take that. We'll just let him have it, or maybe his wife or somebody. okay, good. And so there's so much love coming through for you and just wanting to let people know. There's so many people who connect with him and so many people have missed him. What a good guy. Okay, thank you. Yeah, so he's actually thanking you for being here, so he got to connect with you tonight, and I'm happy he came through as well. I have to say, I do like the random spirits when they come in and we find our people. It's really amazing, isn't it? Yeah, thank you. Lots of love. There's lots of love there. One more thing for you, Amanda. Have you started doing some writing yourself? Automatic writing, inspirational writing, journal writing, that kind of writing. Have you started doing that kind of writing? Because that comes in very strongly for you. And it seems more of a learning experience. I called but didn't get paid when I heard you start talking about him. I had to get on. That's awesome. See, now, well, there we go. What can I tell you? I guess we had to do it this way. Yes, I'm taking Patricia Price's course. Okay. Because I want to be writing, and I want to be, it's kind of a self-development, I guess is a good way of putting it. It's about you. So apparently that's the right thing to do because it's coming through very strongly. Well, Amanda, it was so nice talking to you. It's so funny I didn't connect with you on here on my computer with my phone, but that's okay. It worked this way. It worked just the way it's supposed to. It always does. Okay, how far over am I today? Oh, not too bad. Usually I go about 7-8 minutes late lately. For the last couple months, I just seem to be talking and talking. So I suppose I